Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Another listener question episode. This one is about the videos I've done on YouTube, 5 or 6 minutes at a time. And I do get people commenting on YouTube about it. And I just thought I'd share that with my podcast audience. I'm not pushing anybody to YouTube, but that's the more visual expression. My podcast is strictly audio, but I allude to it. I just want to deal with some of the questions and comments that came up. So thanks, sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Hugs and Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, CompC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentications. Beckett gets acknowledged because all the cards on the wall are in BGS holders, but the videos showing box reveals, those they're not graded yet, but some of them will be graded. And lately, I've gotten several from Panini and several from Upper Deck. So I've commented on them, and I've enjoyed it. First of all, just commenting about the Court Kings basketball that came out recently. John Keating, that 70s card show, said he just appreciated the graphic artists. He understands, based on his day job, that there's a lot of people behind the scenes that make things happen. A lot of talent that went into that. As I said, impressionistic, artistic feel. And I think that's cool. Not every set is going to be a stadium club where you're going to have great photography. Some it's going to be more stylistic in some way. So again, I agree. Shout out to Gene Cloud, Earl Arena, graphic design people who have really taken things to the next level. And there's great ones in every company. Another one from him. He said he could hear the disappointment in my voice. Now he's a concert guy. So maybe there was disappointment in my voice, but he said it's reminiscent of the modern collector going through opening product. And it's hard to be excited when you're turning over these cards. And he was mentioning particularly the SP Authentic 0304 that I opened, that I actually did get the Jordan significant signature. And that was shocking to me. It's probably one of the better boxes. I paid a lot for it, but I obviously made out really well on that. But until you get to that, you're feeling disappointed. I'd like to think, John, it's more anticipation, that the anticipation is unfulfilled in many cases, because as I've said, I think 1 out of 10, you could win big. The other 9 out of 10, you're going to lose, and sometimes lose a little, sometimes lose a little more. But John is a big soccer guy. We've talked about that on the podcast. He just thinks there's a lot of soccer fans out there. They love to go to games, but they're going to spend their money on playing the sport or watching the sport and not collecting the sport. It's one of the reasons why stickers have done so well, because that's a working class product that can be available around the world without a big expense. Like I said, the older stickers are pretty valuable now, especially in great condition and unstuck. We look at the World Cup coming up, but again, the Americans need to perform better. In our league here, Messi is dominating, and he's great, but he just immediately dominates. And the better players in the world are not going to come here unless they're aging a little bit more. From Bob Boozle, he said he missed the Michael Jordan autograph pull, and he heard about it when he was listening to the recap, where my recap episode 1175. And I just think I was really pleased. I wasn't going to do backflips. I don't think I can do backflips anymore, but I was very pleased, and I thought that was cool. And so, Bob, if you missed it, you could go to YouTube and see my lack of excitement. I was pleased, but I didn't shriek. Let's just say that. And from Mookie Chilson, he was wondering, how is it consistent that I'm opening these boxes, and especially the SP Authentic from 20 years ago, and getting this really great card? How is that consistent with working the dollar boxes? The dollar boxes are a sure thing for me. I'm guaranteed to have fun. I'm never going to have a giant surprise like that, but I'm frankly never going to be disappointed. I don't know if there's a FOMO there that I'm not going to miss out. If I come to something in the dollar box and I want it, I don't have to take out a loan or anything. It's just a dollar. I can say, yeah, I'm going to buy these. Whereas with some of these high dollar boxes where you have the chance of getting something fabulous, it's just not me. But I wanted to do it this one time, Mookie. So I hope that doesn't make you confused into what my initial loyalties are. I love working the dollar boxes. From Shane McNew, he remembers back in 03 where he was opening all the product he can get his hands on. Again, Shane, that's 10 cents on the dollar. The $2,000 boxes were 200 in those days, and they were perceived as not being a bargain. If you were perceptive enough to go after them back 20 years ago and you held on to the stuff, then that's awesome. From Ziggy, Michael Ziggy, he says, thanks for sharing your experience, that you said it was not a loaded box, but you received two autos. I've tried to define loaded in two different ways. One is that you get more than is advertised. The box is loaded with extra stuff, extra attribute stuff that they didn't say you were going to get that, but you got more than what they said you were going to get. But the more important definition to me, and I think the more likely one, is the loaded aspect of the players that you got. The players with the attributes were the better players, that you're going to get one rookie or one autograph. Which autograph and which rookie? It's loaded if you're getting the marquee rookie or autograph, the toughest one. And the implication with a loaded box would be that maybe there'd be some, not conspiracy, but the companies might know by a code or something, or where they distribute, that some of the better boxes are going in a certain direction. I really don't believe that's the case. I think that would be really hard to do, and it could blow up. And frankly, most conspiracies like that, it's hard to keep a secret like that. So if that was going on, somebody could extort the company with threatening to reveal that. And I just don't think it's happening. Cross-up collector, mentioning in the Panini Prism NBA box reveal that was a week and a half ago or so, he said, not sure if you missed it, but you did get a Brandon Miller base about 2 minutes in. And he acknowledges it wasn't a great box, but that was some redemptive value. And I agree. I did see it when I went back through the second time. Let's put it this way. I'll give you a little test here. Okay, it's a multiple choice test. He says, I didn't make a big deal about the Brandon Miller. So let's say, is it A, that I was going too fast? Or B, that I was just being flippant about the cards that didn't have any special treatments? Or C, that I really couldn't see the RC logo in the dim light that I was doing it in? Or D, that I was looking for Wemby, and so Brandon Miller was a distant second or third? So do you think it's A, I was going too fast? B, just being trivial, not really giving a good look to cards that look like base? C, that I just couldn't see the RC logos in the dim light? And D, looking for Wemby. So anybody that voted for A, B, C, or D, the answer is all of the above. I was going too fast. I really was just looking for a great card, and I missed what I think is a really good card. I think he's going to be a really good pro. It's just a base rookie, but I think base rookies of the top three guys in the class probably are still gradable. You're not going to get rich with it, but whether you get a 9.5 or a 10, it's probably better to grade it if, again, it's never been touched than by me. And so I probably will grade it. And finally, Mark Bay says, associated with that same hobby box, the Prism, is that, why didn't you just buy the Victor Wembanyama card on eBay? Well, I think he's talking about the $500,000 one. And I don't want to do that, Mark. That's not the way I collect. In fact, there's an interesting thing. I don't think that was the same card that could be from Fanatics and Topps and Bowman and some of the things that they're doing. With Panini, they have limited rights to what they can do with Victor Wembanyama. That's the moment of truth for a collector, is when you're there and you get a card that you pull from a pack that you bought, a box that you bought, and you open it up and you get a card that is whatever it is, whether it's $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, whatever it is, but it's more money than you were expecting. And you have a moment of truth. To what level am I a collector versus an investor or a dealer when you get a card that could be equal to paying down your mortgage or getting a new car or something like that? Then I'd be sheepish to go to the rest of my family and say, oh, by the way, I just got this card. I hit big on this box that I opened. If the family needed money, I would sell it. In fact, what I'm doing is, well, it's not that I'm selling that. It's just that when I go to the dollar box, I'm finding cards from these hobby box reveals that other people do that are the pretty good cards, the good cards, the pretty good cards. And I have no worries that I could just have that. I don't need to be selling them to raise cash or to do something else with it, to, like I said, to pay off credit card debt or something. I don't really have that. But I'm more in the mood now of wanting to have popular priced cards of the cards that I'm getting now. I still have some good cards from when I was a kid, and they fortunately went up in value because I held them and they're at the bank. So I also don't get to see them very often. So when I open a box in one of these reveals, it's a lot of fun. I want to thank the card companies for sending. And like I said, I bought some on my own just because I get it. I love that experience. But you may have to do soul searching to figure out, if I did pull this really great thing and it was worth more than the rest of my collection and it was worth more than my car or some other kind of thing, then it's just stuff. It's stuff that's cool, but it's just stuff. It, frankly, it hadn't depreciated, and that's a good thing, but you never know. Mark, I would not buy the Wemby card on eBay. In fact, I don't really buy cards. I don't buy card. I buy cards. I usually buy groups of cards, and that's more fun for me. I hope you're enjoying it. I started doing these videos, and they're not great quality, but at least they show in real time what's going on, and I hope you appreciate it. I've still got more coming, but it takes a little bit of work to do it. So thanks, everybody. Be back again tomorrow or the next day with another episode. The man in the-